former Justin Store, somewhere about the period of the Regency, had immersed in the lake and forgotten to rescue, and he had also bricked up an enemy in the library wall. It was pure hearsay, but close friends of Sir Adrian said it would never surprise them if his nephew ran off the rails in a similar direction and got away with it without anyone proving anything against him. He had a sinister reputation, as well as one that made the rake's progress seem a trifle colourless. And there was no doubt about it. He was absolutely furious with Sir Adrian for making one particular stipulation in his will. The very tone of his letter, and particularly its insolent smoothness, had proved that to Susan. He had stated that he was staying at the Red Lion in Store, and he had even used the Red Lion notepaper, which seemed somehow to underline the nastiness of his mood. "I think it is high time you and I got together and had a little talk," he said in the letter. "Perhaps it is rather more than high time. My late lamented uncle was not particularly guileful, but I feel sure he wouldn't expect us to share Store between us, not without a suitable chaperone anyway. And it might be rather difficult to find a suitable chaperone at such short notice. Hence my putting up at the Red Lion. But I will give myself the pleasure of waiting upon you as soon as you arrive." As soon as you arrive. And here she was, being whisked between a pair of ornamental wrought-iron gates and carried smoothly up a tree-lined drive to a house that she glimpsed long before the silver-grey Bentley stopped before a pillared portico. They were Corinthian pillars, and the house itself was obviously very old, much, much older than the façade which presented itself to the wide opening at the head of the main drive. It had the air of having settled a little into a slight declivity with the passing of so many years, and there was a tired gentleness about the blankness of the windows and the lopsidedness of one or two of the chimney stacks. And behind the chimney stacks rose some magnificent elms, in which rooks had built for centuries. Susan glanced sideways out of the window and saw the lake, pearly grey in the February afternoon, and she also saw that some intrepid daffodils were waving in the wind beneath the trees. In a few weeks there would be a positive wave of daffodils marching down to the lake, and the whole of the grounds would probably come to life and glow with colour. They were well-tended grounds, for Sir Adrian had been a very wealthy man, and his nephew Justin was now a very wealthy man, and would be able to do all that was necessary for Store. All and more than was necessary, for as a result of having the right kind of fairy present at his birth, he was nearly, if not quite, a millionaire. Susan caught her breath at the lemon light breaking through some clouds and stealing through the woods to gild the surface of the lake. It was so beautiful, in spite of a certain grimness that one ought not to bother about apprehension. And then the thought passed through her mind that there must have been at least one well-intentioned fairy present at her own birth, since she too had benefited so favourably under the terms of her late employer's will. There was nothing to stop her remaining on its Store for weeks and months, seeing it in its springtime beauty, its summer loveliness, its winter starkness. Only Justin Store could eventually stop her. The apprehension jogged at her elbow again, and this time it whispered that all sorts of things could stop her. Her own pride could stop her, and that was what it probably would do. She was prepared for one weekend at Store, and after that she must go away and forget it. So why did she shrink so much from the thought of meeting Justin Store? The great door swung open when the car stopped, and a manservant in neat black stood waiting at the top of the flight of steps. Someone who looked like a housekeeper hovered behind him. The chauffeur lifted her single suitcase out of the boot and carried it up the steps. The housekeeper received it, and the butler bowed. "Your room is all ready for you, madam, he said. "Mrs. Holyhead will conduct you to it straight away if that is what you wish."
"Oh, I do wish," Susan responded.